Please locate in your Bibles the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. We will begin the message here in Genesis chapter 22, the first part of the chapter. I want to talk to you today on the topic, Here I Am. So think on that with me, if you will. Here I Am. We will shortly read the first 11 verses of Genesis chapter 22. But let me share these thoughts with you first. There is a song in the world of Christian music titled, Here I Am. That song expresses that a person has been found by the Lord and given salvation. I was the one, the song basically says, I was the one out of 100 that was lost and the Lord found me. Well, that same expression can be used by people to show their willingness to be used of the Lord. Don't we know that after people receive God's gift of salvation, God wants them, that means us, to be surrendered and yielded to Him in our living. When God leads us to do things, that statement, here I am, or anything similar to that, tells Him that we are available to do what He says. Someone said that here I am is a powerful idea, stating that we present ourselves to God to do His will with our time, resources, strengths, money, and energy. So let's ask ourselves here at message time today, how do we actually respond if we know God is leading us to do something? How do we actually respond? Reality says that sometimes we fail to be available. Let's consider the man named Adam. God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" God certainly knew where Adam was, but He was getting his attention. Adam could have said something like, "Here I am." However, because of his sin, he and Eve tried to hide from God. I say they tried to hide. The Bible says they hid, but you can't really hide from God. God knew where they were. But in contrast to Adam and Eve, we have numerous other examples in Bible days, and I'm confident in the years since the Bible was written, of people who did make themselves available to God. But in this message, let's focus on seven different people. It will be a brief focus on each one, but seven different people. You may find numerous others that were yielded to God and were willing to be used of God. But let's consider these examples, these people who essentially said, "Here I am," by being willing to do the will of God. Let me ask you before we go to number one, have you ever heard of, in the past, have you ever heard of someone that would testify, "Oh, I love the Lord, He's been so good to me, but there was a time when I was running from the Lord. There was a time when I knew what God wanted me to do, but I just wasn't willing to do it." If you've ever heard anything like that, if you've ever said it yourself, that stands in stark contrast to someone saying, "Lord, I believe You put it on my heart to do this, and I want to be willing. I am willing to do what You want me to do." Well, what about Abraham? Let's read in chapter 22 now in Genesis. This is the great story of where Abraham was put to the test, and he passed the test when he was tested of God. It's a great, great story that you may be familiar with. It actually represents what Christ did for us if you look forward prophetically. But I'm wanting to emphasize today the willingness of Abraham to be what God wanted him to be. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I, my lad, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Now you might notice in those verses that we just read that Abraham made himself available to his son Isaac when Isaac had a question for him. He said, Here am I, my son. But I want to emphasize again the willingness of Abraham to be used of God. In the very first verse, God was testing Abraham. He called him by name, and Abraham responded, Here I am. It's not a matter of God being informed of where Abraham was. It's a matter of Abraham basically saying, Lord, I'm here and I'm ready. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. That's the whole point of a message like this. Here I am. Lord, I'm yielding to you. Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I want to do your will in my life. That's how much Abraham was dedicated to the Lord, especially when you consider that Isaac was the promised son that came in the old age of Abraham and Sarah. And God put into an extreme test that many people probably would not have passed, but Abraham did. And if you know the story, you know that before the story ends, you see that God did provide a lamb for the burnt offering, and Isaac was spared. What a beautiful story it is. But I'm emphasizing that in verse 22, rather chapter 22, verse 1, he said, Here I am. And then when you get down to verse 11, the last verse that we read, the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, and God called his name two times. This time he got his attention. He called his name once in verse 1, twice in verse number 11, and Abraham responded the same way. Here am I. Here I am, Lord. And that's the emphasis I'm sharing with you today. We could go into detail on numerous Bible stories, but at the heart of all we're talking about is the fact that people need to know the Lord is their Savior. And when they know Christ, God wants us to live for Him. And being willing is a key. Being yielded is a key. Being surrendered is a key. And I believe that Abraham was. Without a doubt, I believe that Abraham was yielded to the Lord. Now, I'll share some other verses with you, but those are the verses I wanted you to follow with me on here today so far. But let's think about Jacob. Jacob was one of the patriarchs. Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob. Jacob, the one whose name was changed by God to Israel. So there's an importance in Bible history and even in secular history with those patriarchs. But in chapter 31 of Genesis, the Bible says, Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, you could guess what he said with what I'm telling you so far, couldn't you? He said, Here I am. Now, was Abraham perfect? No. Was Jacob perfect? No. That's not the point. The point is, on the positive side of life, they were available. They were willing. Someone has said, now this will be subject to debate, someone has said that the greatest ability is availability. Well, you might apply a concept like that to something else as well. You might say dependability. But availability is a very important thing if people are willing to be used of the Lord in their living. This was when the Lord told Jacob that it was acceptable, it was okay for him to leave Laban and return to the land of his family. And so God said, Jacob, and he said, Here I am. You go forward from chapter 31 all the way to chapter 46 in the book of Genesis, and God spoke to Israel, as he was called there. Israel, Jacob, and he said, Jacob, Jacob, called his name twice. And what did Jacob say? Here I am. Now, Jacob certainly did not always do what was right. But again, on the positive side of life, he was willing to be used of God. And this was when that God assured Jacob that he could go to the land of Egypt. Does everybody remember how that Joseph got sold into slavery, and by the providence of God, Joseph was elevated to a high position in the land of Egypt? And then famine came in his homeland, and it ended up that his family had to go to Egypt to find food. And at first, his brothers didn't recognize him. And there's a lot of beautiful information in that story. But ultimately, they became known to each other. Pharaoh the king became aware of what was going on. And he sent wagons for Jacob's family to be brought to Egypt from the land of famine. And so this ties in when God basically assured Jacob, it's okay, Jacob, if you go down into Egypt where Joseph is. He assured him, it's okay for you to go to Egypt, and that he would see his son Joseph again. Now, I cannot speak for you. Hunger is a powerful thing, but I would venture to guess that if you had to pick in Jacob's time or Israel's time or what was more important in going to Egypt to find food or to see his long-lost son that he thought was dead, I'm inclined to think he wanted to see his son. Both had their place, didn't they? But I'm telling you that Jacob said, here I am, Lord. Now, it's going to be the same idea with these other examples, but what's the application? You don't even need me to tell you. Probably the application is we need to be willing. We need to be willing as well. And I suspect there are people in this group even here today that have had times where you felt like you needed to do something and somehow you didn't follow through. Maybe you just weren't willing to do it at that time. Or maybe sometimes you felt like you needed to do something and you did and it made you feel good because you did what you thought the Lord wanted you to do. Let's think about Moses. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. That's another example where he called the name twice. And he said, here I am. He said, here I am. Now, that was an unusual experience to have a bush burning and not burning up. The flame there because God's presence was there. But this action, when God got his attention there and told him to take off your shoes, Moses, you're on holy ground. This action was important when you see that Moses said, here I am. Now, that's the same Moses that offered excuses to God or why he shouldn't be the leader to bring the people out of Egypt, but it was God's plan. And in this verse, you see that Moses said, here I am, Lord. And that action led to God using Moses to lead many, many people out of their bondage in the land of Egypt, to lead many Jewish people out of that land of bondage. Well, let's think about Samuel. Samuel. The Bible says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Do you know with me today, you don't have to be old and decrepit to know the Lord and live for the Lord. You can start out when you're young. And that's the best way, isn't it? That's the best way. I suppose we probably have a mix of backgrounds in here today, and you would in most groups. There might be some in here that didn't go to church when you were very young. And maybe started going later. Maybe got saved later. There might be some in here that you've been in church ever since you were a baby. It can vary, can't it? But the thing is, we can't change the past. We just need to know the Lord and go forward and live for Him. But in the case of Samuel, he had a godly heritage. And Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. You remember his mother's desire and dedication to the Lord? And so Samuel was used to minister to Eli, and the word of the Lord, the Bible says, was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. I like that statement. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. He'd already called three times. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." Another example where the name was used twice. And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." May I emphasize to you that Samuel, at a young age, was being used of the Lord. He was willing to do what Eli needed him to do. "Here I am. Here I am." But Eli perceived that the Lord was calling him. And Samuel was willing to say, "Your servant is listening." To be willing to be God's servant is a plus. To be willing to listen. And how do we know what God wants us to do? Sometimes it's from the guidance of the Scripture. Sometimes it's the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they never contradict each other, the leading of the Spirit of God and the leading of the Scripture. Here's what I want to emphasize. Samuel, even at a young age, was yielded to God, and God used him even into adulthood. What about Isaiah? What about Isaiah? I want to read to you a verse that perhaps some of you have heard maybe numerous times. In Isaiah chapter 6, there's a verse that tells us this. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" I don't want to be silly in any kind of way, but you know what human nature is? Even among Christians, human nature is probably like, "Here I am, Lord, but send so-and-so. Don't send me to do that. Send so-and-so." Don't you think that's a human possibility? You might not say it out loud, but you are willing to let someone else do it. That's so easy for that to be true. But Isaiah said, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" There was a task to be done. And Isaiah was willing because he said, "Here am I. Send me." None of us is anything except by the grace of God. But everybody is a somebody because of the grace of God. And every somebody can be used of the Lord because that's His desire, by His grace and by His leading in our lives. And when that took place in Isaiah's life, that was the beginning of God's commission to him. And Isaiah became a great prophet. He even told in advance many of the things that were true of the Lord when He came to the earth to save us. So Isaiah was greatly used by God. What about Mary? Now there was one more. Mary, more than one, I should say, Mary mentioned in the Bible. But I'm talking about the one who gets the most attention, the one who was the mother of Jesus. Let me remind us of these verses that are not limited to Christmas time. The Bible says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said," y'all remember what Mary said? "She said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Do you realize that when Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word," I am your maidservant. She was basically saying, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. I'm willing to be used however you want to use me in my life. And some of you may have heard me say this before, but I believe that Joseph, the Joseph that married Mary, the mother of Jesus, I believe that both of them were godly young people, and God used them. And that's a plus when you read of things in the Bible. So Mary was willing to do God's will, and God used her in a special way. You go to the book of Acts, and you can read about a man named Ananias. The Bible says there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, called his name. How did he respond? And he said, here I am, Lord. I'll be brief on my emphasis here, but Ananias was another person that was willing to be used by God. And God used him to communicate with Saul, who became known as the Apostle Paul. Now, this probably took great courage because up until that time, Saul had been a persecutor of Christian people. So we have some examples of people that were very dedicated, as human as anyone else, but dedicated to doing the work of the Lord. Over 100 years ago, in 1907, Adelaide Pollard wrote the lovely hymn, you'll find it familiar, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. That's almost like saying, here I am. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And in four verses of that song, she acknowledged these four things, or emphasized these four things. Number one, she acknowledged God as the potter with power over the clay. Number two, she recognized God's ability to see what is inside us. Number three, she confessed our weakness and needed God's power. And number four, celebrated the ultimate achievement of a life reflecting Christ. Let's think on the words. Have thine own way, Lord. Now, if you pause right there, that's a big statement if you mean it from your heart. Lord, have your way. Not my way. Not the way of others around me, but your way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Savior, today. Wash me just now, Lord. Wash me just now as in thy presence. Humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Now, before I close the message, let me ask you to think not only on that, but also on the other information I've given you. We had some examples that we talked about in this message. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Mary, and Ananias. And the obvious application to us even today is that God wants people to know Him and to live for Him. And part of living for God, when we do things that please Him, is to just be willing to do what He wants us to do. Now, how do you apply that beyond making a statement similar to that? Well, there may be things that God impresses upon your heart or mind to do. It might be to talk to this person over here about the Lord. It might be to invite this person to church. It might be one of many other things that some of you may be very good at doing. It may be calling someone on the phone. It may be sending somebody a card. It may be visiting somebody in the hospital. It may be helping a child. We could go on and on and on. It would be hard to limit the things that Christians can do to help and encourage other people. And the Lord can be our help all along the way. And it helps us in life when we have that perspective that this is part of what God wants us to do, to be kind to people, to love people, and be concerned about those that need the Lord. All those things fit together. So I'm trying to encourage everybody today, and we can all use that encouragement to live for the Lord, to live for the Lord, and be willing. You know, God doesn't make people get saved. He doesn't make Christians live for Him. But life goes better once you're saved and when you're living for Him. It really does. So God calls Christians to serve Him, not just preachers and evangelists and missionaries, but Christians. He wants us to do what we can for Him. He touches hearts by means of His Word and His Spirit. The question is, how do we respond? Do we try to hide? Or do we say, here I am? God has a purpose, and we have a choice. May I say that again? God has a purpose, and we have a choice. We can choose to go against God's leading, or we can choose to be used of God. In the eyes of the world, and even in the eyes, the lives of other Christians, you might or might not become well known and famous. But earthly fame is not what counts. What counts is our faithfulness to God. His Word still promises that a faithful person will be blessed abundantly. Let me share this with you. We're talking about here I am. Numerous people essentially said, here I am, Lord. The Hebrew word translated here I am could also be translated at your service. At your service. It denotes a willingness to do what God wants us to do. So the concept is not complicated to talk about or to listen to, but the concept is important because putting it into practice is a little more than just thinking about it. But that's what we need. So let me ask you, is God asking you to do something? And if so, can you or will you answer, Lord, here I am? Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer, please. We'll just have some piano music for our invitation today. And I encourage you to think on your relationship with the Lord.